Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Halfway through here on Gwen and Chris, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Sello, Matt Scraby, all along for the ride. 2 hours to go. This is the segment in which we reset the show. Unfortunately, we got some really bad news to start the day off. Governor Gavin Newsom. Now, although these orders are not yet in place, it is...
Get ready.
It is, yeah. It's speculated that it's coming down the pipeline here in the next 48, 72 hours, or 49 hours, as it was written earlier today in our email.
How you say that,
Gary? But nevertheless, that is some it's some unfortunate news. I think we were all hoping to kind of avoid that. And as I said, it is not in place yet, but it is certainly anticipated that it will. So, yeah, that's kind of where we're at, Chris, here on this
I know. We're at the Intercom Empire doing our show in the studio probably for the last couple of days, I would think, this calendar year.
Yeah.
I would think we're looking at 2 or 3 weeks probably of everybody kind of having to stay at home. And, you know, I don't know. I was watching a little Sports Center last night, and they showed highlights of the Alabama State High School Football Championship game. And I was thinking to myself, what, was that this year? Like,
was there people there?
No, there was nobody at the stands, okay. But or at least I couldn't tell if there was fans in the stands. I'm assuming there was no fans. But my point is that they played some semblance of a high school football season in the state of Alabama this year, all the way to where they were able to have a championship game. And I'm thinking, are we all in the same country? Are we all going by the same? No, we're not. Everybody's totally different and has different ideas about all this and different thoughts of all this and different ways to go about it. I think we're being safe and smart here in California. You know, I don't want to turn it into a political thing. I know there's people out there who think otherwise and think, well, I wish we were in Alabama where you can go out and do whatever you want, da da da. Well, you can't really do whatever you want anywhere, number one. Number two, you know, Nick Saban's already got the coronavirus twice. You don't want to get the coronavirus out there. I know people.
He's only got it once.
Oh, that's right. Was the first time a false positive.
But if anyone would get it twice, it would be him, and he would fight through it twice.
He would. And I just, you know, if we could just all try to, you know, get with the program a little bit and tough it out for the month of December, I feel like we're going to get there. I feel like, you know, vaccines are coming and the opportunity to take them is coming, and hopefully we can make it through. But these next few weeks are going to be tough, I have a feeling. And, you know, it's not easy. I had a pit in my stomach today just thinking about it.
Yeah.
And I kept asking myself, why do I have a pit in my stomach? This isn't about me. This is about everybody going through a tough time. But it doesn't change the fact that it's a tough time. So it is what it is. And the governor, I mean, we can't overrun the hospitals. We have to have the ability for people that are sick who need to go to the hospital for other reasons other than the coronavirus to be able to get in there. So the stats are what the stats are. The facts are what the facts are, even though you might think of disputing them out there.
I think that's like been the new word of 2020 is data. Like, that's what the data is telling us at this point.
Take that for data.
Yeah, take that for data. Yesterday, we talked a lot about Tommy Pham and the Padres making what both Chris and I think is a wise decision to bring him back. And, you know, yesterday we had AJ Cassifel. He did not tell us that he would have a new article up on the Padre website. And as I am going through it right now, he kind of touches on a subject that I think is going to be very vital for this Padre offseason. And he has a really a list of, let's see, one, two, three, four things that we should look forward to or look to the storylines in this upcoming free agent. Free agency. And the first one he has on there is the offseason is now about what position do you think he says?
Left field?
No. Pitching.
Yes, because left field is no longer an issue.
Left field's no longer an
issue. Thankfully, the Padres took care of that, whether you agree with that move or not.
DH?
No. DH is definitely not on there. We don't even know if there will be a DH at this point. But it brings me to, I think, a subject that's worth having a discussion about, right? We know Mike Clevenger is going to be done for the year of 2021. We have, I think, the three question marks next to Dinelson Lamet and
got to have at least a couple.
What we would have, what we're going to get from him. Mm-hmm. So what do the Padres turn from here, Chris? I think we've already started to see some names surface. It's not going to be easy. By the way, the number two thing AJ Cassifel has is on his list is trading for a starter won't be easy. The likes of Lance Lynn, who we heard his name was hot during the deadline, right up into the deadline, really.
Did he get tendered?
He has another year with Texas, so he's available via trade.
Okay.
The other name that has been mentioned here recently in the rumor mill is Blake Snell. And he's a guy. Now, listen, both of these guys are going to – you're going to have to give up something to get both of you. You're probably going to have to give up a little bit more to get Blake Snell.
Got to give up something to have a championship team.
The question is now the time? Right? Because this came up a few years ago, and
right.
I think both of us agreed – now, that time wasn't the right time to be moving pieces. But you get a taste of getting to the division series in the playoffs on a team that...
And you realize that you got swept in part because your top two starting pitchers were injured.
Indeed.
And
indeed.
Your one guy is not coming back next season. Your other guy hopefully is, and you're going to need another ace somewhere along the line.
Is now the time.
Yes.
I do agree.
Look, I've read... You know, that we got to keep Patino. We got to keep Gore. We got to keep Morahone. We've got to keep Weathers. And I say to that, really?
Why?
Do we have to keep them all? I mean, there's only so much room for so many guys. And eventually, you build superstar young prospects, A, to play for your team, or B, to play for somebody else's team and get you to where you need to go.
100%.
And I just believe that if the Padres were to, let's just say they traded two of them and got Blake Snell, they'd now have Blake Snell, and they'd still have two guys left. It's not like they're everybody's like, well, we can't, you know, clear the cabinet of our prospects. You're not clearing the cabinet. You got plenty of guys still left, but it's time to start using some of these chips.
By the way, you don't get to be the number one ranked farm system by having two or three guys.
Right.
You have a stock of guys that puts you to that position.
There's probably a couple of other pitchers, by the way, out there that we don't even know of or that we've kind of heard of that are probably pretty good. It's not like these are the only four prospects they have in the entire pitching system. You know, so I think it is time to go after a Blake Snell, and I think the timing is perfect to get a Blake Snell because Blake Snell has that attitude and anger that I think he's going to bring with him and help you reach where you want to get to.
And he has something that A.J. Preller has shown that he values. He has control. He's not a free agent until 2023. So you bring him in, you get the 2021 season, you get all the 2022 season, and you get all the 2023 season.
Yeah.
So,
and he's not going to be unhappy if Jace Tingler takes him out in the sixth inning.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but I do think when you look at this offense and how good it was last year, they're all back intact. This whole entire offense is back.
Yeah. The whole team is coming back. The hole is at starting pitcher. And you can fill that hole at starting pitcher with a former Cy Young Award winner who looked pretty close to that level when he got healthy in the World Series.
The last time we saw him, he was at that level.
He was,
and if you asked the Dodger hitters, they would tell you that they were glad to see him go when
to
he
this,
did.
To the day that the Dodgers have the parade that they're never going to get to have, right. They're still going to be thankful for Blake Snell being taken out of that baseball game, because that was about as dominating as any starting pitcher has been against the Dodgers that I've seen in a long, long time.
I agree.
I have a poll up on 97.3 The Fan SD. I just put it up right now if you go there on Twitter, and it says, would you offer Mackenzie Gore as the centerpiece for a big name starting pitcher? So the
would you? Oh, you're singling out Mackenzie Gore.
I think he's the biggest name that would be enticing to other teams.
He might be the one that brings you the most back in return because nobody's seen him yet. Right? A lot of times when you haven't seen something, you tend to rate it a little bit more.
One of the knocks on One of the negatives to having a prospect come up and lose his shine is that you do just that. You're not as shiny as you were unless you come out and just dominate.
Right.
But you run the risk of there being some bumps, as there usually is with young pitching or young hitters or whatever it may be. But one of the good qualities of not bringing a guy up is that you don't really know.
Sounds awesome, right?
He's still the number one prospect or two prospect in all of baseball.
Yeah, he still is. And I don't know. Do you think that the let me ask you this another way before we go much further here. Do you think the Tampa Bay Rays would take Mackenzie Gore for Blake Snell?
Yes.
You do?
I do.
You think they would do it?
I think they would.
And so now I could ask the Padre fans, similar to what Scraby's asking on this Twitter poll, but go answer on the Twitter poll so we can get your feedback. But if that's the case, should the Padres take a look at it? Because
if you just look at what the Rays have been about, they know that they can't re-sign guys. So that is why they go about the business that they do. They have the openers. They do, because they don't have the funds to keep, you know, stocking these terrific players that they bring up.
Right.
And so they always are looking to get something for something that they're not going to be for. They did
for
it
the future.
Right. They did it for Tommy. They did it with Tommy Pham.
See, I think you'd have to give up more than just Mackenzie Gore.
I'm not saying that you wouldn't. I'm just saying you asked me if I thought the Rays would do something like that.
Yeah.
I think they would.
Well, we just tweeted it out, and we're kicking it off. Our poll Twitter. We want to know, would you offer Mackenzie Gore as a centerpiece for a big-name starting pitcher? Your choice is yes. Also, you can choose yes, but not Gore. No, maybe down the road, or no way. And there's 23 hours and 57 minutes left in the poll. And so far, Scraby, we have one vote.
Yes.
All right?
It's no way.
The vote is for no way?
All right. Actually,
so no way is in the lead. In fact, NBC News is forecasting that no way will win our poll
in a landslide
based on the one vote that has come in.
Oh, wait.
Meanwhile, some of the other categories are chiming in saying that this is a rigged election. So we'll see how it all turns out.
Two votes and no way. We have one. Our guy Ben, who calls in from time to time, he said, if it works with Gore, awesome, but I would choose Patino and Morahone. And another, Humby Tatis Jr. says, no, we need a homegrown ace.
Need a homegrown ace. You got one. Chris Paddock. There you go. There's your homegrown ace.
Oh, we had a little caller wanted to participate, but they hung up before we could get to him.
Oh, well, if you want to join us on the air, we can do that as well. Or you can vote in our Twitter poll. 833-288-0973 is the number to call in, by the way. I just think it's time.
Whether it's Gore or whoever it is, yeah. I think it is.
I think it's time to make the leap of faith. And the good news is, if you trade one superstar young prospect pitcher, you've still got three left.
Yes, you do.
You don't have zero. It's not like you have one chip and you're wondering, should I spend this chip on that one golden item out there? And then you have buyer's remorse because you don't have that chip left once you buy it. But my goodness, if you spend a chip and you still got three left,
We got the caller back on, I think.
Yeah, let's go out to the. You want to get the call after the break?
Yeah, give me a second, guys. Jeez,
I'm excited about this.
We're ready?
Let's get to break.
We got it. His name is Jake, and here he is.
Jake, welcome to the show.
Get in here.
Tell us what you think.
What's up, guys? Sorry about that. I wasn't sure if you were taking calls or not.
All good.
We are. What's up?
Yeah, so I call in to Coach Kintyre every once in a while. I like both of you guys' show, and he talks about this Blake Snell trade probably for the last couple weeks now. You know, and what I think and what I told him is, you know, I would give up pretty much any one of our prospects except Mackenzie Gore. You know,
why?
I think with the Dodgers and they're very top heavy, or not top heavy, but they have a ton of lefties in their lineup. And you need a guy with that top-end potential. Patino and Morihone, I think they're really solid. I think they could be 10-year vets, but I don't see that ace-type deal. With Mackenzie Gore, you don't know, obviously, but from everything I've heard, he has that potential to be a number one kind of guy. And, you know, especially with the Dodgers not going anywhere, I think it's important to have that lefty, too.
Well, listen, Jake, that's great take there. That is the thing that holds me back, is at the very least, we've seen at least what Patino and Morihone have to offer. Like, Jake can make that assessment that, yeah, these guys look like they're 10-year vets. We can't make that assessment on Mackenzie Gore at this point. He hasn't had a chance to pitch at this level. And the thing that concerns me a little bit is that you had – really three guys who were below him on the totem pole surpass him last season.
Yeah, something happened last season. We're not privy to whatever it was, and we're not keeping it from anybody. But the fact of the matter is they had Gore, and they had Patino, and they had Morihone, and they had Weathers, and the only one that we didn't see was Gore.
Right.
So there's some reason that we didn't see him. I don't know what it was, but there was some reason. There was something holding that back. Now, maybe he does. Anytime you trade a prospect, there's that chance that they go on to become John Smoltz.
Right.
I mean, the Detroit Tigers traded John Smoltz for Doyle Alexander one time, and Doyle Alexander immediately led the Tigers to the division championship and almost the World Series, and everybody thought, man, how did they get this guy? They didn't even trade anything for him. Well, they did. They traded John Smoltz and ended up in the Hall of Fame. And we know Jeff Bagwell, and we know Lou Brock, and we know all of them going on and on and on and on. Young prospects have been traded. But there's also been just as many times when young prospects have been traded and they've either gone on and done well or not well. But the player that was brought in helped that team to success.
At that particular time.
Right.
Yes.
That can happen. And I believe that Blake Snell would be a guy that could help push the Padres a lot closer to the Dodgers.
No doubt about it.
I would very much consider it.
All right, let's get to break. When we come back, we covered some Lakers earlier. Now, I don't want to be accused of not covering the Clippers. So, for our Clipper listeners out there, we got Andrew Greif, LA Times, to talk just that. Clippers.
Yay.
When we return, Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Here's traffic, Kelly Danik.
5:23 The Time. Welcome back to the program. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. Countdown's coming up shortly. Get to that. Continue voting on our Twitter poll as far as whether or not you'd want to include Mackenzie Gore in a trade that might net the Padres Blake Snell. Go to our Twitter page to do that. I retweeted that out with the letter F.
Yes,
I don't even know if if you're wondering what the F stands for. It stands for I have no idea how to tweet something out without hitting an F.
Don't worry, that's what that stands for. No one does.
How did I do that?
Now when you
all I hit
things,
was the retweet button.
I know,
at least I thought I did.
I know the new app makes you, or it allows you to comment first before you retweet it. So if you don't want to say anything and you just want to retweet it, you have to just hit retweet twice, basically. Now they always make you comment or prompt you to comment first.
So even if I didn't push the letter F, they put it in there for me?
No. If you didn't press the letter F and you hit the retweet button, it would just retweet it back out. It wouldn't say anything. It's
well,
weird.
Then, all right, I don't care.
It's stupid.
All I know is that I didn't mean it if I put an F and you're offended by the letter F. Please vote in our Twitter poll. In the meantime, let's go back to some NBA basketball talk. We had Mike Bresnahan, Spectrum Sportsnet, earlier to talk Lakers. To counterbalance that with the season around the corner, Andrew Greif, Los Angeles Times, to talk Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers. Gwen and Chris heading out to the SDCCU fan hotline, talking a little NBA basketball right now. Los Angeles Clippers style, joining us from the Los Angeles Times, Andrew Greif. Nice enough to spend a little time with us on this Thursday. Andrew, how you doing?
Doing very, very well. It's nice to be back interviewing guys after that interminable 2.5 month offseason.
Yes, I know the offseason was incredibly long. I don't know, was that good for the Clippers or bad for the Clippers? Is it kind of good in the sense that they can get right back to it, or did they need the extra time to rest?
Probably good and bad. I think that it's good that they can kind of get back fairly quickly. They don't have to stew or the way last season ended as long as they would in a normal season. You obviously want to give a team that hinges on Kawhi Leonard and Paul George's health, you want to give those guys as much lead time for their health as possible to get into the season. But what Lawrence Frank said yesterday is that they should be both ready to go for camp, so it's not a major concern, but obviously you want your guys to feel completely rested.
Andrew, by now I'm sure you've seen it, the appearance from Paul George on with who was that? Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes on their show. It seemed. How do you think that's going to be received by the teammates there? It seemed a little. Seemed like Paul was throwing some of the guys under the bus a little bit.
To me, it read as him critiquing Doc Rivers. That's how I read it. And honestly, that here we are, a few hours, a day later, and Marcus Morris, I think, really backed that up. He was asked today on his interview, his first since he signed with the team, re-signed with the team, and he was asked about what he thought Ty would bring to the team. And he said, never mentioned Doc, obviously, but just the way he said it, saying that the biggest thing is that he's open to figuring out what we also like. His biggest thing is he can connect with us, and understanding the players and talking to players. And as he said, not really having that ego. He's a great coach, and being able to adjust what the players say and not just in his own mind. That, to me, obviously reads as very much a critique of the former coach, Doc Rivers. So that's how I interpreted PG's comments at the time, the sense of his ire. I mean, obviously, he also said that he felt like Doc Rivers misused him within the offense,
right,
which the statistics don't quite back that up, because he actually ran more pick and roll last year than he ever had in his career, and that was, he felt like he needed to run more pick and roll than Doc. But nonetheless, there seems to be I would say some airing of grievances about the way the team felt that they were coached last year.
What a shame. They had a Hall of Famer coaching them, and they didn't want to listen to anything he had to say, and that's how it turned out for the Clippers. Andrew Greif is with us from the LA Times. I want to ask you about Kawhi Leonard, as specific as we can be, and his load management and all of the rumors that we hear that he got special treatment from Doc Rivers and was able to, I don't know, either be late to practice or miss some games or miss some time, and whether or not that really truly affected the Clippers, and whether his teammates like him or don't like him or feel a little bit like he's getting a special treatment from this organization. Is any of this true about Kawhi Leonard? I mean, should we be reading anything into this, or is it all just made up excuses as to why the Clippers didn't get it done in the playoffs?
Well, I think that there's a little bit of a separation as I see it. I think that it is true that he, obviously received special treatment. He was an NBA champion coming off his second straight NBA finals. He was the most sought after free agent at the time. And he holds all the leverage because he can come out of this team after only 2 years on his deal. So of course the team is going to do, as I think pretty much any team would do, to placate him and make sure that he wants to stay for the opening of, let's just say, a brand new arena in 2024.
Right.
That is absolutely something that, as an organization, you make sure your guys feel taken care of. I think that obviously some teammates felt that they were given, he and Paul George were given, a little more leeway than they thought was necessary. I'd heard that his helicopter from San Diego sometimes would cause practices to start later than usual. Start treatment, not a new thing in the NBA, and I'm just, to the players were surprised by that. I guess it's always caught me a little bit off guard, because this is just the way the NBA works. But I do think that there is a way that, he is a guy who, because he is so good, you sort of have to work around him. That's just the way that the modern NBA works. Unfortunately for guys who are more of the role players. Now, could the Clippers have gone and maybe messaged it or signaled it a little better to their team that, you know, that they valued them the same or doing them. I'm sure that there probably in hindsight, there could have been ways they would do it differently. But I do think that there was something that really was interesting that came up from Toronto. It kind of resurfaced recently. I saw on Twitter from a guy who posted it, you know, footage from right after Toronto won the championship. And he basically said, he's sitting next to Kyle Lowry talking to ESPN's Rachel Nichols. And he said that like that whole year that he felt like his teammates were kind of wondering, like, does he really need to sit? Does he, what's like, he was getting special treatment essentially. And they were kind of wondering really like, what's all this about? And right. He basically said that he felt like guys were questioning at that time. But in that case, as he said, nothing ever got out. Nothing was ever leaked.
Right.
Whatever tension was there never bubbled to the surface. And so that's just, I think, the difference. It sounds like there was tension with that Toronto team too about how he was handled, but they took care of business, and everybody forgets when you win.
So, Andrew, where does that bring us? Because we've talked about the Kawhi situation, whether it's true or not. We talked about Doc Rivers. There was talk in this Athletic article about Marcus Morris and how he was perceived by some of the teammates. And now Montrezl Harrell picks up. He goes across the hall. How does Tyronn Lue bring this all together here and get this team back on track? Because a lot of these issues we're talking about, although some faces have changed, some are still there, and I'm sure these feelings that we're talking about will also still be there.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a tough job, but yeah. He has so much respect for his playing career, being teammates, universally loved teammate of both Shaq and Kobe. How many people can say that?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Michael Jordan, he has a way of telling guys the truth and making them feel glad in a way, like not making them take offense at it. That's right. One of his former friends, one of his friends had told me that he used to play with. He has this way about him of telling you what you need to hear, but putting it in a certain way that puts guys, allows them to receive it differently. So
right.
He has this innate ability. He is younger than Doc was. You know, players they've seen the way he connected with LeBron. That brings a ton of respect to, because he's not only done it as a player, but as a coach. So he comes in commanding a lot of respect. I think also adding Chauncey Billups to his staff. Mm-hmm. Both of them were around the team last year, one in an assistant coaching role, one in a TV analyst role. So there's a lot of, I think from the players, there was a lot when he was hired, optimism about his connection to the team. And you're seeing that still. So it won't be an easy job, but I do think that he seems to be set up for success because of his history.
Let me just real quick, Andrew Greif, LA Times, joining us, talking a little Clippers here on the SDCC Fan Hotline. Just to follow up on Kawhi Leonard and, you know, trying to go back to when Kawhi was here in San Diego and trying to get a read for, you know, how things have happened as he's grown in his NBA career. With everything swirling around, some of it getting out, some of it not getting out, some of it true, some of it not true, just at the heart of it, does Kawhi Leonard want to be liked by his teammates, or does he necessarily care if they're a little bit upset that he's getting, quote, preferential treatment?
It's a great question. I don't know.
Nobody ever does with Kawhi.
Yeah. You know, Serge Ibaka spoke to reporters today, and he, obviously having played with him in Toronto, said that he's the type of guy that if you just look from the outside about who he is, you don't really know him, and that it takes getting to know him to really understand what he's about. And Serge feels like he's seen that side of things. And I thought that was interesting, that he felt like he is a guy who does want to be a good teammate. At least, you know, he wants people to know what he will bring to the table, and that's always going to be his effort and his play. And he wants to know that from you, too, that what you will bring is that level of effort.
Yeah.
So I think it really comes down to him. Is just, it's result oriented.
Right.
You know, he wants to make sure that he is winning. And so, if he thinks that whatever it takes for him to get ready to win, whether that teammates want to see that as a perk or not, if that's going to put them in the best position, then maybe in his mind, that's inarguable.
And just real quick, Andrew, before we let you go, last thing. Are the Clippers further away from the Lakers based on what the Lakers did this offseason and what happened with Montrezl Harrell? Or do they feel like they're still as close to the Lakers as they were last year?
I think they still feel like maybe Well, I don't know how they feel. I'd say that the consensus from people I talk around the league is that the Lakers had such a good offseason that they've probably taken a small step forward on the rest of the field, other chasers. But I really feel like the Clippers improved their top seven, top eight playoff rotation quite a bit from last year's team. So the depth isn't there. And I think that that was one thing that a lot of people were wondering in the league is like, okay, what's happening with their free agency? But I really feel like between Serge Ibaka and Luke Kennard, their playoff rotation, and they can do stuff at the deadline too, that is better.
Yeah.
All right, Andrew. Well, we'll see how it goes. God, basketball season starts in 2.5 weeks.
Around the corner.
Get ready. Hope you enjoyed your off season, as short as it was. And thank you so much for your time. We love talking basketball with you, and you're very gracious to us here on the program. And we look forward to catching up with you as soon as the season gets rolling. Thanks again.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you.
All right, there he is, Andrew Greif from the LA Times. Talking some Clippers with us, getting us up to date on Kawhi Leonard and company on the SDCCU fan hotline. Double payback days are here. Use your SDCCU debit or credit card, and you could win up to $1,000. No purchase necessary. For details, visit SDCCU.com. All right, good to hear from Andrew Greif there. There you have it, you basketball fans. Lakers earlier in the program, Clippers right there with Andrew Greif. You should be just about set for the upcoming NBA season, which is less than 3 weeks away. Have they announced the schedule or just the Christmas Day games?
They have announced the Christmas Day games and the opening night games.
I think are the Lakers opening night too?
They are.
Against the Clippers?
Yes.
The Clippers.
Yes.
Yeah. That's the law.
It is.
The Lakers
it is
have
right
to
now.
Play the Clippers right now on opening
How
night.
How funny is that? Because for a long time, Clippers,
no.
they stayed as far away the from Clippers
the Clippers didn't
as
possible. Get anything. Yeah. I know the Christmas Day, the Lakers play the Mavericks.
Yes.
It was funny, too. Mike Bresnahan was saying earlier he thinks that Anthony Davis and LeBron will play the opening night game and the Christmas Day game.
And then shut it down for a little
check
bit.
It out for a month or two before they come back for the rest of the season. That very well
is that okay with LeBron, though? Is that okay with him?
What, for him to check out of games?
Yeah,
or
no,
Anthony
no, I
Davis
mean,
to check out
is the
out
amount
of
time okay for him that he's going to take off? Because
stop being a hater, Scrooge.
Because he said he didn't want to play until, like, the playoffs.
I guarantee you that Steph Curry and Draymond Green would be saying the same thing
no,
if they only had a month and a half.
80 days or whatever.
Yes, I said they would be saying the same thing if they only had a month between seasons.
Yeah.
It's not true.
Yeah.
Yes, they would. Draymond Green, as much as I like him as a player, just because he's a Bay Area guy and you're sticking up for him doesn't mean that he isn't able to say things that are a little bit
outlandish.
Yes, that's good. We'll stick with that word. That's better than what I was going to say. We'll take a break. Come on back. We got our countdown right around the corner with Gwen and Chris. Also still ahead, a pop quiz. Hope you guys are ready for that on 97.3 The Fan.
The countdown starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All righty, then. We saved this particular category for today. We didn't have a full boat yesterday. Felt like it wouldn't be the right kind of list if Chris wasn't here to participate. So today we delve into the top wide receivers right now in the NFL.
Number five.
Interesting topic.
I think so, too. I think so, too. Number five on my list will be Green Bay's own Davante Adams.
Davante Adams, number five.
He's been he's been really unstoppable, him and Aaron Rodgers this year, all season long. I mean, really now season long because he missed a couple games early. But the games that he's been on the field, he's been nine games. He's done a pretty good job. 908 receiving yards right now, averaging 12.3, has 11 touchdowns, which is second in wide receivers. And I've always, especially from a fantasy standpoint, I've always been reluctant to pick a Green Bay wide receiver. I just feel like Aaron's always been the type of quarterback that has spread it around. Like nobody, no one receiver really gets like all the love, but that's changed over the last couple years. Davante Adams has clearly been that guy, in large part due to Davante Adams being his only really good wide receiver.
Yeah,
but
he's open all the time.
He's still open all the time, despite that. Teams know he's the best receiver on this squad, but he still finds ways to get open. He sits at number five on my list.
right, number five for me is an oldie but a goodie, Michael Thomas. Worst season you could possibly have this year, but I can't overlook the fact that he caught 712 passes last year from Drew Brees, or
seems
however
like
many he had. I can't believe he's completely lost his ability to play. Obviously, the injury, the high ankle sprain, I'm telling you, you'd rather have a broken leg almost.
You really would.
You just sit out for 7 months and then you come back and you're 100%. You get a high ankle sprain, sometimes you are never 100%. And I think anybody who's seen Michael Thomas this season knows that he's never been 100%. But I got to keep him in the top five just based on what he did last year. So that's what I'm doing. It's my list, my rules. I make them up.
It pained me to leave him out of my five, but I kind of had to.
You kind of had
him
to.
Him and Julio Jones.
Well, he was so bad this year, Michael Thomas, or has been so bad. Maybe it's still time for him to salvage something for it. But
that's what I'm praying for in my fantasy team, is that he's just going to have like a million yards at the end of the season.
Better hope that
the last three games, a million?
A million.
So average about 330,000 per.
That does it for me.
That'd be good. All right.
By the way, Devontae Adams is averaging 100 yards per game.
Like, he's been amazing.
And almost a touchdown a game.
That doesn't even happen very often. Number four for me is a guy who, once again, I've been reluctant to give credit to. But he got traded to Buffalo and has stepped into that light, and that's Stephon Diggs.
He has done well.
He has been very good. And listen, he's proven that he doesn't need a quality receiver on the other side of him. With Thielen being in Minnesota along with him, he kind of got overshadowed because of how well Adam Thielen did. But Stephon Diggs has continued to be as productive, and you can argue more productive, with Buffalo than he was at any point with Minnesota. And for that reason, I'm going to have to put him at number four.
You may. Number four for me is really difficult for me to admit.
Here he comes, the 99 himself.
He's been that good. DeAndre Hopkins, number four.
5:48, 50 p.m. for everybody out there.
Just the catch that he... Look, at least I'm giving an honest list.
I mean,
I could have just, you know, left him out entirely because I once said that he shouldn't be a 99. I still don't think he should be a 99. I think if he's, you know, maybe a 98... But they put him back at 99 after he made that catch against Buffalo. But it's not just the catch against Buffalo. It's the fact that he's open all the time and he gets a lot of yardage. And I wanted to give a little asterisk to my number four, an addendum to my number four wide receiver, and put Hopkins' teammate in parentheses, Larry Fitzgerald.
Mm.
I know he's not the number four wide receiver right now. Yeah. But he's going to be in the Hall of Fame someday, and he's one of the best wide receivers in the history of the game, and he's still playing, and he's still open from time to time, and he's still making some catches whenever they, you know, kind of need one. So I just wanted to get him a mention, even though he's certainly not top five right now.
He deserves it. Definitely.
Number three.
Number three is number 99 himself. Well, he's not number 99. He is a 99, and that is DeAndre Hopkins. I questioned if he had lost a step those last couple years in Houston, but he's proven that that hasn't been the case. And he takes on the toughest matchups week in and week out in terms of the best cornerback on the other side of the field. And he consistently, and this is with, you know, it was one thing to do it with Deshaun Watson when he, you know, had come into his own. He's doing it with another young quarterback.
Yeah.
And seemingly has made him a better quarterback by being there. So DeAndre Hopkins, you got my vote. You're number three on my list.
I'm looking forward to this weekend because you're going to have the Rams and the Cardinals.
Ooh, yes.
That means Hopkins is going to go up against Jalen Ramsey.
That's going to be a good
matchup.
That'll
be a big test for him, but I'm sure he'll get some passes. All right, number three for me is DK Metcalf. God, I hate to admit it. He looked so dominant the other night. I'd like to see him not have balls bounce off his face mask when he's in the
he
end zone.
He tends to do that.
But as far as size and speed and just athleticism and just what he brings, he's probably on his way to being the most dominant Megatron-type wide receiver in the NFL. I don't think he's quite there yet because he still will drop one now and again or Cadillac one now and again, but DK Metcalf's got all the tools to be the next great wide receiver, and I got him at number three right now.
Number two.
Yeah. Can you imagine? Because Calvin Johnson was a threat. Cause obviously, he was huge. He could pretty much you put three guys on him, he could still go up and get it. But he predominantly ran those deeper routes.
Yeah.
I don't know how many weeks in a row I've seen DK come across the middle and a safety have him lined up, and the safety's the one that ends up paying the price for the hit.
Yeah.
But you're right. DK, the one flaw he does have is he'll just miss, like...
He'll just miss just one.
Just completely...
It'll be like ground ball to Machado right. at third.
Whoop. Right, just completely like, how'd that miss happen? One. Yeah. Other than that, he's been as fun as any wide receiver to watch. I put him at number two on my list, DK Metcalf. I think you're right, Chris. He's on a track right now to be that most dominant wide receiver with this combination of size, speed. If he has the hands part to it, watch out.
Yeah. All right, number two for me. I kind of feel like I'm a half step ahead of you here, but I don't mean to be. I don't know who your number one is. But my number two is Tyreek Hill, probably based mostly on the game he just had the other day. I got to give it to him. But it's hard to totally judge Tyreek Hill only because he's getting to play with Patrick Mahomes. But if you watched the game the other day against Tampa Bay, he was adjusting to make a lot of those catches.
He was.
Those were not all just hitting him perfectly in stride wide open because of the great Andy Reid offense. But so I got to put Tyreek Hill. He's doing it every single Sunday also. And if I could put Travis Kelce out there, I would.
I thought about it.
I know he's not a wide receiver, but those two guys are something that no other team in the NFL has. And that's, along with Mahomes, is why the Chiefs are as good as they are.
Yeah, one. Travis Kelce is third in the league in yards.
I know.
For wide receivers. Or for tight end slash wide receivers.
Yeah, for receivers, yeah.
Yeah, Tyreek Hill is my number one right now, based off of that last week's performance. You're right, he does get Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce to play, to take up the middle. But his speed is just different.
Scary.
Like, I don't know how many DBs are tired of seeing the peace sign as he's running away from you on the field. But, you know, he's been that good this year. So I give it right now, I give it to Tyreek Hill, number one.
All right. Number one on my list was number five, surprisingly, on your list. Davante Adams is my number one. I think he's the most complete wide receiver in the league right now. I think he's open on deep routes. I think he catches every possible pattern underneath, whether they're slants, outs, hitches,
route tree,
curl,
I think they call it
just
now.
Every single thing. And he's open every play. And I watch him because I'm always playing against him. It seems like I'm playing against him every week in fantasy. I don't know how that is. He gets traded from team to team in our league, I guess. But no, I just think Davante Adams is the best in the league. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers helps a lot, but... I think overall he's got the most complete package for wide receivers. Tyreek Hill is a little more explosive, but I got to go Devontae. Yeah, a little bigger. And he's really what DK Metcalf could be if DK Metcalf didn't drop the ball all the time. But Davante Adams doesn't drop the ball at all, and he's only getting better. And he said to everybody he was the best player in the league.
He did.
And he got my vote. So there you go.
Honorable mention,
Julio Jones. You know who's honorable mention? Robert Woods is an honorable mention.
You like him, right?
Cooper Kupp, honorable mention.
Both of them.
What about Keenan Allen?
Keenan, I forgot. You know what? No disrespect, Keenan. You definitely belong on that list.
He had like 16 catches.
He might be the best route runner out of all of these guys.
Lots of disrespect, Keenan. We forgot you entirely.
Sorry, brother.
That's the way it goes.
All right. Is it my turn or your turn?
I don't know, but I got a quick update. The number one team in women's basketball, South Carolina, is beaten tonight.
Oh, NC State.
North Carolina State. Final score just in 54-46. We'll take that to break in the happy hour on Gwen and Chris.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.